So a new study shows that wages in Queens grew last year, and not just grew, but increased at a rate higher than all but one other county in the whole country. Between June 2006 and June 2007, the average weekly wage in the borough rose by 12.7% to $866 a week. Now, by contrast, growth in Manhattan was 6.4%. Still not bad compared to the rest of the country. The statewide average was a little under 6%. And as we said, only Clayton County in Georgia had a higher rate of growth than Queens. We'll have to find out what's going on down there. But 12.7% wage growth in the last year, or at least between June 06 and June 07. Joining me to discuss the new study, the possible reasons behind the increase in wages in Queens, and the overall economic picture in the borough is Terrence Martell, director of the Weissman Center for International Business at Baruch College, and also Andrew Beveridge, a demographer at Queens College and the man behind the demography column at the Gotham Gazette. Andrew Beveridge, nice to have you back on the show.
Thanks, Brian. Yeah, I'm very happy to be here. I'm actually sitting in Illinois today.
And how is it in Illinois today?
Flat.
Flat. I hope you're not flying Midway Airlines because they just went out of business.
No, thank heavens I'm not. I'm flying JetBlue. I hope they will stay in business. And I know they're not being expected either, so that's good.
Terrence Martell, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Brian.
Now, Terrence, you saw this study. In your opinion, what are the main storylines here? Why are wages growing in Queens at this rate?
Well, to my lights, the main storyline is the fact that the Queens economy is somewhat different from, for example, the Manhattan economy, and that is something we should consider and remember when we talk about influences on the city economy as a whole. When you look at the breakout of the numbers, the two sectors that stood out were the transportation sector and the wholesale trade sector, and I think there are unique answers in what's going on in Queens that explain those numbers. But of course, you know, it's a dynamic economy, and there could be lots of things going on.
So, for example, I've read Kennedy and LaGuardia airports.
I think that's part of it. You've seen a lot of stories of late about developments in and around Kennedy, AirTrain. At the beginning of the AirTrain, there's some new hotels going up. All that's a current manifestation of what's been going on for a while, and that is we see some reasonable growth in the freight forwarding, air freight end of the business. Plus, my colleague is flying back on JetBlue. I mean, that's an additional dimensionality to Kennedy Airport that, for example, wasn't present several years ago in terms of it being a hub and expanding the way Kennedy is used.
Oh, by the way, I think it wasn't Midway Airlines. I think it was Midway Airport in Chicago that's in money troubles, and bidders are lining up to buy it. I'm not. Did they shut down? Is that it? ATA shut down their flights. What, to Midway? Okay. So, but there's some Midway issue in Chicago. But Andrew, you're out there in Flat, Illinois, but you know what's going on back in, well, I wouldn't exactly say the rolling hills of Queens, but do demographics play into this wage increase?
Well, yes, I think they do. I mean, Queens, as the other person said, I mean, Queens has been actually quite vibrant for years. I mean, there's been a lot of growth, both in terms of entrepreneurs, a lot of whom are immigrant entrepreneurs, and who sometimes are kind of like beneath the radar. I know that the Center for Urban Futures pushed this, but you know, if you're a small business entrepreneur in Queens, you're not going to get the kind of tax breaks that, you know, some of the big companies get, like say Time Warner Center, stuff like that. But nonetheless, they're very, very busy. And if you drive around, particularly Western Queens, which I have done, I mean, for, you know, there's massive amounts of construction going on, renovations going on. The Home Depot in Queens had the highest sales of any Home Depot in the United States, so high, in fact, that they built another Home Depot just a couple miles from the first one, which breaks their normal approach. Mm-hmm. So I mean, there are just many, many evidences of kind of rapid growth. I think the other thing, though, it is true that the Queens economy is very different, or the labor force is very different than Manhattan. The fact is that because of the high prices in Manhattan for real estate, not just for apartments but also for office space, there's been a lot of office growth in Queens that's sort of Manhattan-esque, kind of overlooking Manhattan in the Astoria area. And then out in Bayside and in Flushing, there's been a massive sort of increase of Asian businesses and Asian entrepreneurs. I mean, I think there's something like 37 banks now in Flushing, most of whom are owned in the Far East. So it really is a very, in certain ways, it relates to the Manhattan economy, but in certain ways, it is very, very different than the Manhattan economy. And, I looked at the results, and unfortunately, they've broken, the breakout is older, but the other panelist is absolutely right. I mean, transportation, they're doing massive growth around the air train. They're trying to do something in downtown Jamaica, which is another area where there's a lot of immigrant growth coming in, some of whom are from Guyana. So it's a very, it's a very, very interesting thing. I remember a few years ago, two zip codes in Queens were among the highest income in the country. So I mean, it's not completely shocking that Queens is doing so well.
We have this increase now. Just to clear up once and for all this airline story, since I sowed all this confusion, reading from the New York Times website posted 6 minutes ago.
Oh, okay.
In the latest sign of troubles in the airline business, ATA Airlines did shut down today, canceling all flights after filing for bankruptcy. The airline said in a statement that it was unable to honor any tickets or reservations and asked other carriers to assist passengers stranded by the abrupt cancellations. This was an Indianapolis-based airline which operated 29 aircraft carrying about 10,000 passengers a day on four routes from Chicago's Midway Airport. That's how I got Midway in there.
Yeah, but I think that is right. I mean, ATA was one of these low-cost, kind of a JetBlue clone airline.
Yeah.
And, in fact, when I was talking to somebody on, I guess it was on the bus to getting the rental car, and she was going over to Midway Airport. So maybe she was trying to buy something. I don't know.
Maybe. And ATA's website said the company had 2,230 employees, and most of them were being notified that their jobs have been eliminated. That doesn't affect Queens, Terrence, does it?
No, the ATA is not in Queens, thank heavens.
We don't have a problem there.
If JetBlue went down, it would have a big effect on Queens.
That would be a problem.
That'll never happen.
Let's get back to the issue Andrew raised about the driver, the entrepreneur as a driver of job creation, the small and medium-sized business. You know, you have so many so many different ethnic communities in Queens, all vibrant, all almost, when you use the word natural entrepreneurs, tied back to the Korea or the Bangladesh or wherever they originally came from, the natural tendency is to trust the people you know, so you kind of almost inevitably develop an import export kind of orientation, reaching back to the country from whence you came.
See, now what you're describing, though, goes to the issue of whether immigrants take jobs from Americans or create new jobs. What you're describing sounds very much like they create jobs that wouldn't have been here otherwise.
That's clear, particularly in New York City. I don't want to speak for the country as a whole, but certainly that vibrant community, if you took it away, I don't think anyone would come in and open the Korean shops. I mean, it's almost kind of silly. I mean, the natural tendency of we have hardworking people come here and create opportunities not just for themselves but for the city as a whole. It's a clear driver of our economic growth.
Right.
I think that's absolutely true. I just want to make a point. Flushing was absolutely on the ropes in the late 60s, early 70s when the Asian immigrant entrepreneurs started coming in. And there's one man who owns a bank now. He is transnational or import export, like the other panelist said. He maintained his Taiwan citizenship. He started out as a shop. He was an NYU grad student that wasn't going that well, so he went over to Flushing. They gave him free free rent for 6 months because the economy was that bad then.
Mm-hmm.
And he's gone on to build a, you know, one of the banks in Flushing. So, I mean, that's the sort of thing that's going on. And the thing about it, when you are at Queens or in Queens, I mean, I actually don't live in Queens. I live in Yonkers. But, you know, you go around Queens, you see this on the street. It's just really amazing what you see. I mean, there's an area in Queens, there's one street in Queens where every single group has, in effect, a body shop. You drive down there, and each, you know, if you want to go to a Korean body shop, you can go to a Korean body shop. You want to go to a Hong Kong body shop, there's a Hong Kong body
right.
shop.
It's
there's
who you're comfortable with.
I mean,
right.
It's just amazing.
But
yeah.
How many of the stores, the retail stores, are basically import-export? When you look at what they're selling, to whom they're selling, where they're getting their goods, I mean, it's a logical tie between the international diversity of the city with the international trade that the city does. It almost naturally flows together. We don't think of it that way, but it really is an incredible driver of the economy.
I think that's absolutely correct.
Let me jump in, Andrew. I want to get a call or two in here before we run out of time.
Sure.
And listeners, if you're just joining us, we're talking about a new study that found that the rate of wage increase in Queens between June 2006 and June 2007 was the second highest of any county in America. Wages in the borough rose by 12.7% to an average of $866 a week. And Jim in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. The only question I have is, and this economic data that you guys are talking about is wonderful, but what's the correlation between wage increases and this economic activity? Because you're talking about people's salaries. And a lot of people hop on the R, the N, and all these other trains to go to Manhattan to work. There are people in Manhattan who work but who live outside of Manhattan. And I have a family member who drives out to New Jersey and who will be nailed with this, you know, this little tax here, but to make his money or they go to other areas. So well, my question is, this is great these small businesses are all there. They probably don't pay that much in wages. Where's the correlation between that and the wages?
Right. It's a great question. And so is this stat, Terrence, for people who live in Queens or for jobs that are located in Queens?
I believe it's for jobs.
It's definitely for jobs.
Yeah.
So it's Queens jobs.
It's basically the payroll, including money that would go to an owner, you know, filed through Social Security. I mean, that's what they use.
Yeah, and so what do we make of this $866 a week average? Is that high, low, medium by national? Is it, you know, 12% growth because wages were so low to begin with?
Actually, that sounds roughly average because I remember there was this study that came out just a while back that showed that investment bankers because they finally did one of these. It's the same data set, but they did it by thing. There were five counties where their investment bankers were, and they made like $8,000 and something a week, whereas the average wage in the U.S. was $800 and something a week. So I think that this is about roughly average.
All right. Worth noting that this report from the Bureau of Labor Statistics was conducted before the housing crisis and other economic troubles. So is what we're hearing today about the Queens economy an indication that perhaps they're a little more insulated from greater economic troubles or not really, Terrence, do you think?
I think they're a little more insulated from troubles that are directly related to the financial sector. Then they're obviously not going to be insulated to the extent that the economy as a whole goes into recession. This gets back to the idea that the Queens economy provides the city a little bit of diversification away from reliance on the finance, insurance, and real estate sector entirely.
I agree with that 100%.
All right. And then you know what? We're going to leave it there. Very interesting stuff and really a reflection of how dynamic Queens is in so many ways. And we knew it was dynamic in terms of population movement. And now we know that there is a financial corollary to that. So Terrence Martell, director of the Weissman Center for International Business at Baruch College, and Andrew Beveridge, demographer at Queens College, thanks so much.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, we'll take your calls on recession-proof jobs.